Movement of Christ broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
Those who passed by insulted him. They shook their heads and said, "You're going to tear down the temple, you said, player, and build it back up in 3 days. Save yourself. If you're really the truth, if you're really the Son of God, come down from the cross. If you're the truth, player, then come down from the cross. You said you was going to build the temple, tear it down in 3 days. You claim you're the Savior of the world. So now our challenge to you, if you are who you say you are, Mr. Jesus, then come down from the cross. Do me a favor, push five people, try to make him fall and tell him he wouldn't come down. He wouldn't come down. You may be seated in the Lord's house. The late Billy Graham, who we lost just a couple of weeks ago, certainly it would be a principled critique to say that he could have said more about civil rights, and I would agree. But no one can deny that millions were saved because of his ministry. It was that same Billy Graham who says, whenever you see the cross and the blood shed and him hanging there, that was God saying to us, I love you. I agree with that. I concur with the late Billy Graham. I love this particular weekend because it bespeaks the idea that Christ loved us enough to give his life on Calvary's cross, that they marched him to the place of a skull called Golgotha. If you don't mind, just indulge me for a few moments, and then let's posture ourselves for Super Bowl Easter weekend on next week. But let's just touch this. Maybe, as I tell you each year, if Easter is the happiest Sunday of the year, quite possibly, there may be parts of this weekend that could be the antithesis and the saddest. Because this is the weekend we consider what they did to Christ on Calvary. Let's set the context. It's been 12 to 14 hours. You do know Judas. You've been here the last couple of weeks. Judas, being represented as Satan, betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. Peter, who loved him, denied him three times. The Bible says, and they all forsook him. They all forsook him. You all know the Roman soldiers came and arrested him. You've been paying attention the last couple of weeks? Get it on wax if you haven't been here, but they come and arrest him. It's been 12 to 14 hours of some of the worst torture you could imagine. Historicity teaches us when the Romans tortured you, baby, you were tortured. Sometimes you were unrecognizable. They've been beating them down. I mean, you talk about being physically beat up, being mentally and emotionally beat up. They marched him. The old folks said, what, from judgment hall to judgment hall, from Pilate to Herod to the high priest Caiaphas. Nobody wants to touch him because can't nobody find anything wrong with him. But yet church people want him dead, so they've marched him saying, listen, we need your permission to give him capital punishment. We're Jews. We cannot give him capital punishment. We need Roman authority to kill him. Pilate doesn't want to kill him. Nobody wants to kill him. Finally now, Pilate said, do you want Barabbas? Were you here last week? Or do you want Jesus? They picked Thug Barabbas over Jesus. So now Jesus is in the part of crucifixion that hurts so bad. They are beating him and hitting him. It's been 12 to 14 hours. Matter of fact, they put a cape over him. You a fake God, so we're going to give you a fake king cape. You think you're God, huh? You think you a king, huh? So here's a crown of thorns. They take a crown of thorns and push him down on his head. So the blood came streaming down. Why? Because of the thorn that was on his head. I want you to catch all of this as we set the context. 12 to 14 hours of carrying and marching, moving from place to place. Now he has this 200 to 300-pound cross on his shoulder, and that's what we pick up in the text. Look at verse 31. Great crowd, by the way, great crowd. The Bible says, after the soldiers finished making fun of Jesus, they took off the cape and put his own clothes back on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. On the way, they found a man named Simon. He was from the city of Cyrene. The soldiers, watch this, ever thought about it? Forced him to carry the cross. Wait a minute. Cyrene, Simon, bruh from Cyrene, North Africa, they force him. Wow, I need to do this just because I'm just, you know, crazy like that. I just like the Bible. I'm trained, and so seminary just makes you want to be right and not be sloppy just to get a shout. So I got to point this out. Most pastors probably wouldn't. But John 19 says, and it's on the screen, that he carried his own cross and went to a city location called the Skull. So John said he carried his own cross. Matty I says a bruh helped him carry. Who wrong? No, nobody wrong. They just saying it the way they saw it. John doesn't remember the detail that somebody helped him carry it. Whenever you read the Gospels, remember, read all four, because one will leave out a detail. If all three of us see an accident, all three of us gonna tell the police something different. Nobody's lying. They're just giving their what? Perception of what they saw. Great crowd. Great thinking crowd. So, come here. Come here, class. So, what happened is Matthew said, no. He didn't just carry the cross. The cross was heavy. They had beat him all night. He's tired. His knees are probably buckling. For whatever reason, they think he needs help. The Roman soldiers are thinking, we're not going to help you carry it. So this bruh just getting off the boat. Why? Because it's Passover. And Passover was one of the most major celebrations. Three major feasts in Israel. Passover was arguably the greatest. It's like Mardi Gras in New Orleans, July 4th in the States. I mean, this is the big one. Everybody's in town. All the Jews from everywhere would come in town for the big Mardi Gras, as it were. And a bruh is on his way from North Africa. He just got off the cruise boat. He got his backpack. He's chilling. Got his brush, brushing his hair, everything. Got his waves. Got his phone. None of that is in the Bible. None of what I just said is in the Bible. I made that completely up, because I saw a player in the back sleep, and now he's woke. Thank you, brother. So I made all that up for you. I'm just playing. People don't sleep on me. Thank God. Don't go to sleep on me. But I want y'all to catch this. A brother, that's right, a black man from Cyrene, Simon of Cyrene, North Africa, Libya. Why does Matthew feel the need to tell me about this brother? Why is it important? I don't know why. I mean, why? And by the way, he did not volunteer to carry the cross. Bruh is like something. He probably just got off the boat port at Joppa and is coming through. He's there for celebration. He don't know Jesus. He don't know what they're doing. He doesn't know about this religious conflict. All bruh doing, just trying to come celebrate. He didn't work to get his vacation. Bruh didn't save up his money. I'm going to Passover. I'm going to kick it. I'm going to chill. I'm just going to chill. And he gets caught up in the midst of something that he didn't ask for, and ends up carrying a cross like black people end up carrying a nation without asking, because he gets pulled into something. Black folk always getting pulled into stuff we ain't have nothing to do with. Isn't that something? Whether you're black or white, you ought to feel this wonderful book, because why are you telling this? What difference does it make about this brother Simon? Wonderful book you ought to read. It's on the screen if you like reading. And it's the idea of Simon of Cyrene, the cross bearer of Jesus, who was the only African eyewitness to the crucifixion. This brother is an African-American brother. Don't let scholars tell you he was Jewish. If he was Jewish, he was a black Jew, because they were black Jews. He is from Cyrene, that is North Africa, Libya, and this black brother comes off the boat. This strong black brother, this black panther comes walking up. I've been wanting to do that for like five. What's up, man? White people, y'all do it too. Come on, white people. Everybody, white people, black, we all, yeah. From now we see just that's all we gonna do right now. This brother comes walking up, great crowd by the way, this brother comes walking up and they say, hey you, brother, help this man carry, must Jesus bear the cross alone? and all the world go free. There's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Literally, he helps carry the cross against his will, and African Americans who did 400 years of free labor have carried this nation against their will. We're always being pulled into stuff, but God uses us where we are. And let me just pause and parenthetically digress, because I hear five people saying, it's good that slavery happened, because without slavery, we would have never met Jesus. That is erroneous. Do you read your Bible? Acts the 8th chapter says there was a brother from Ethiopia. He's coming with Queen Candace, represent her. Queen Rich Black Candace sends him over. Philip sees the brother and goes to preach it to him. In 35, he wants Jesus Christ. In 37, he goes to shout. In verse 39, the Bible says he went away rejoicing. The word rejoice in the Greek means that it was a salvific experience. So this brother came one way but went back to Africa saved, which means he was the first evangelist in Africa. So slavery didn't teach us Jesus. We didn't need the colonizers to give us Christ. We had Christ before they came. Preach. Y'all not feeling me. If Acts 8 not enough, read Acts 13. You'll see Lucius. You'll see Simeon from Nazaire. Nazaire, I know it reads like something else, but French, one of my African members helped me with it. It's Nazaire, and the brother, they were teachers and apostles, and he's from Nazaire. Simeon literally means the black man. So guess who was a teacher in the Jerusalem church? A black man named Simeon. Whether you're black or white, you need to understand the white colonizers did not teach us about Jesus during slavery only. We had Christ before we came. So whether you're black or white or red, praise God for the gospel of Jesus Christ that it transcends color. All right. That was a history lesson for free. And by the way, those who like to read, you may want to read Ribalto's Slave Religion and the Antebellum South, The Invisible Institution by Ribalto. The Antebellum South, The Invisible Institution by Ribalto. Or you might want to read Mamiya's Slave, the African-American, Black History and African-American Culture. So Mamiya's fine, Ribalto's fine, but back to Jesus. The next verse says, everybody, great crowd, by the way. The Bible says they came to a place called Golgotha, the place of a skull. They gave him a drink of wine mixed with a drug called guile. When he tasted it, he refused to drink it. Y'all look at me, because the Bible says they didn't beat him down. Now they want to give him something to help the pain. Lean on somebody and say, why are you going to hurt me then try to help me? Go ahead, what you going to do? Are you with me or against me? You beating the heck out of me. Now you want to give me something for the pain. You the one bringing the pain to me. Isn't there some of people trying to love you and drive you crazy at the same time? What you going to do? How you going to be my helper when you the one hurting me? You going to hurt me or you going to help me? You can't be my helper. You can't be the one to keep hurting me then call yourself going to help me. That's driving me crazy. So they try to give him, what do the doctors give you right before operations or dentists, some sort of anesthetic or anesthesia to numb or dull or completely eradicate the pain. So they try to give Jesus some gall, some stuff mixed with the vinegar, and the Bible says he refused it. Yeah. Because he had just talked with his daddy and said, can you let this cup pass from me? Yeah. Daddy said, no, you're going to have to take it, son. He said, well, if I'm taking it, I'm taking it all. Y'all just missed this. Here's your first shout on field number 2 downtown. Some of you going through something right now. Lean on somebody and say, go on and take it. Go ahead. Y'all missed that. The enemy is a liar. He wants you to try to pornography it away or adultery it away or weed it away or drink it away. But the devil is a liar. If God got me in something, the best I can do, sometimes the best thing I can do is go in and take all of it. Why? Because he's building my testimony. He's making me something. The devil wants me to run back to the stuff I used to do, but I can't go back. I don't know who's in the middle of something, but let patience have its perfect work. I don't know who I came to preach to, but lean on somebody, say, go on and take it. Go ahead. If you're going to take it all. God is the potter, and you are the clay. Mold me and make me. Have your way, Lord, in my life. Please test us. The Bible says, he said, no, I'm cool. Let me fill all this. Because if part of the payment for them to go to heaven is for me to take on their stuff, then I'm taking it all. I come too far to half doing it. Can I suggest to 7 people, it's not for all of you, that's in the midst of something right now. God said he won't put more on you than you can bear. And the worst thing you can do is try to drink this away or get high and make this go away. If God got you in it, it's because he knows you can take it. So do me a favor, drive the devil crazy and say, come on with it. Whatever God wants to do in my life, I can handle this. Take it. The Bible says he refused to drink the medicine or the anesthesia of the gall. Look at the next verse, everybody. I just want to preach this text and say that when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them. They start taking his clothes, they divided them. The next verse is powerful because the Bible says, and it's so critical, the soldiers said to each other, let's not rip it apart. Let's throw some dice. Let's gamble, man. Let's gamble because this player's clothes, since they all think he's God, his clothes may be worth something in a museum one day.